أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة وأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون صلوات Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Waqi'ah has clearest words divided the humankind into three categories. وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثَةً So this ayat makes it clear that we belong to three groups. There are three groups amongst us. فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ So, those people who are Ahlul Yameen, those people who belong to the paradise, they are called أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ And what a great sa'ada and success that these people have. And the second group which is mentioned is وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ Mash'ama, shu'um, which those people who have shakawat and shu'um in their life, that's their mash'um, manhus, and shaqi. In their behaviors and beliefs. They are the ones who belong to the hell and they are the second category of the humans. And the third category is mentioned وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ The ones who took the sabqat and lead. And the word sabiqun is mentioned twice in the ayat of the Quran. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ They are the ones who are close. So, we have in the tafsir of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, where it has been mentioned in the tafsir of our scholars, in the light of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that the reason why the word as-sabiqun is mentioned two times in the ayat of Quran as-sabiquna fil iman as-sabiquna fil amal as-salih So the reason why the ayat of Quran mentions the word sabiqoon twice is because once the sabqat and lead has been taken by these people in terms of their iman and faith, and the second, the sabqat and lead is taken by these people in terms of their al-amalus salih, the good deeds. So we understand in very clear words that there is no success for a person unless and until we are protecting our iman and protecting our good deeds. Iman cannot be present and cannot be certified. The presence of the iman cannot be certified without the presence of the al-amal as-salih, the good deeds. Just like the presence of the amal as-salih is a dalil for the presence of iman, likewise the presence of iman is a dalil for the presence of al-amal as-salih, the good deeds, because both are inseparable in the Islamic ideology. You can never ever separate the actions and deeds of a human from his ideology and belief. And you can never separate his belief from his actions. I can claim whatever I wish to claim as a lip service. At the end of the day, what I perform shows what I believe. If I fail to perform and behave well towards Allah, it shows the reality of my claim. My actions speak louder in Islam. The actions prove what actually I believed, not what we say with our tongues. Because bil iman yustadallu ala salihat wa bis salihat tustadallu ala al iman, how Amirul Mu'mineen wa Imam al Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says. He himself is the icon and symbol of iman in Islam, because he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen and the leader of all the faithful, and he himself is the icon and symbol of al-amal as-salih, because we learn the goodness from his actions and practice. As throughout the history of Islam, he have been taking a lead towards being steadfast on the teachings of Quran and the teachings of the Sunnah of Rasulullah, to an extent that at every moment, at every possible scenario, wherever Prophet had a chance, Prophet was praising Imam Ali alayhi salam. And in the Battle of Uhud, we find that on such a sensitive occasion, when the kuffar attacked the Holy Prophet from the other side of the mountain, and these Muslims who were assigned by the Prophet ran after the Baytul Mal, the dunya and the money, and that's why the site was left open, and the kuffar realized in their attack from that corner, and we find the Prophet himself became injured. Some of his teeth got broken, one teeth at least got broken, and Prophet was bleeding, himself was injured from that attack, and so many Muslims got killed because of the ignorance of those Ahlul Dunya who did not obey the teachings of Rasulullah. And at that crucial moment, when Shaitan makes this announcement in the crowd, Ala inna Muhammadan qad qutila, to deceive the people that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been killed. And there are so many ahmak people in the community. We don't have shortage of humaqa, isn't it right? All the wrong people and their agendas are prospering and advancing because of the ahmak and silly minded people available, who are ready to run away behind every call. Like Imam Ali says, yamiluna ma'a kulli rih, they are inclined with every wind. What a beautiful statement of Imam Ali. There are some silly people around who are ready to get inclined and being blown away by every wind. They don't have sense to use. So, you know, so there are people, the hadith says, يَمِلُونَ مَعَ كُلِّ رِيحٍ. That's, you know, they get inclined with every wind. That much is in the hadith. So, Imam Ali al-Salam was the only person among the men standing there and defending the Holy Prophet in the Battle of Uhud. Just like all the rest of the battles where he was participating in defending the Prophet. And finally, we find that Rasulullah on the day of Uhud made his historic statement about Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he says, "Lo wada'a imanul ibad wa a'maluhum." See, we are discussing iman and amal salih. As-sabiqun, as-sabiqun, as-sabiqun fil iman, as-sabiqun fil amal salih. Isn't it right? According to the tafsir. So, Prophet has said, "Lo wada'a imanul ibad wa a'maluhum fi kaffatin." If the iman of the people, that means entire humanity, you put their iman on one side of the mizan and scale, wa iman wa ajru wuquf aliyyin alayhi salam fi kaffatin ukhra, and you put the reward of Imam Ali alayhi salam, reward of Ali staying. Imam Ali is the only person who stayed with the Holy Prophet, isn't it right? So Prophet says, and the reward of Ali staying is put on the other side of the scale. What would happen is, he says, لَكَانَ يَزِيدُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ. That means the weight of the reward of Imam Ali staying with the Holy Prophet is outweighs the other side. That means all the faith of all the humanity and all the good deeds of all the humanity on one side, and the ajr and reward of this one action of Imam Ali, that he stayed with the Holy Prophet, on one side, and it has more weight than the other side. Why is this happening, and why is this not happening from the other side? What's the reason? Because people fail to understand the concept of iman in Islam. Isn't it right? Because they don't understand that iman has nothing to do with the outside. Iman has nothing to do with the outer world. Iman has nothing to do with what happens around you. Iman has no effect, no ta'seer. Nothing gets affected. Iman is ineffectable, impenetrable. You cannot penetrate into the iman if you have the iman. Iman has something to do with your inside. Iman has everything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the tawakkul and trust in Allah and the hope attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kun lima la tarju arja mimma tarju. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our responsibility as believers is that we should attach our hope with what we do not have any idea about. We should still attach hope about those things related to Allah as compared to those of the things which we are hoping to get from Allah. Examples. Our scholars mention that one of the best examples to understand this concept is that of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Hazrat Musa, when he went out of with his wife and his baby, and they were out in the winter, so he found some kind of flame type of thing from far away. So he went to get some kind of fire, piece of flame, so he can warm up his family in the winter. So he went to get some flame, some fire, and what he ended up, and when he came back, was, you know, when he came back from the Muqaddas and holy valley of Tuwa, when he comes back from that holy valley, he comes back with the bi'sat of Nubuwwat, that Hazrat Musa is now mab'us and commanded by Allah to start officially his propagation of Nubuwwat. So he went to get a fire and he gets back the bi'sat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right?
This is what our scholars say, that you have hope in Allah about things that you cannot imagine to get. Not only the things that you are wishing to get, things that you cannot imagine to get. Keep your hope about those things as well from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So iman is something which is always kept in a secure place. جَعْلُ الْمُعْتَقَدْ فِي الْأَمْنِ. How my teacher has defined the concept of iman is that putting your belief in a secure area. This is called iman. That means whatever happens in the society, you get injured, you lost your job, you get whatever, there's nothing to do with your faith. There's no harm possible to affect your faith. Outside incidents have nothing to do with your faith. If that's the situation, then you are called a mu'min. And if every little incident in the life has something to do with your iman and its ups and downs, then you must understand you don't have the iman. This is not called iman in Islam. Iman, to begin with, is called you put your faith in a secure place. جَعْلُ الْمُعْتَقَدْ فِي الْأَمْنِ. So we find that, and similarly when the battle of Khandaq happens, which we also call Ma'rakatul Ahzab, because all the Hizb, all the parties gathered together against Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we find that this insulter, Amr ibn Abd al-Wudd, la'anatullahi alayh, came finally crossing over the trench that has been dug up, and we find he started to insult the Holy Prophet, insult Islam, and challenge the Muslimin. And at that occasion, when Prophet is asking the Ashab, the companions who were present there, and there's no one who is responding to the call of the Holy Prophet. Again, you find so many people who are ready to make their claims when it comes to the actions, like I said in the beginning of my speech. When it comes to the actions, al-amal as-salih proves the iman, not the claims of the person. So we find that Imam alayhi salam is the only person who is ready, announcing his help for the Holy Prophet and Islam. And finally, when Prophet sent him and Imam Ali alayhi salam, hits Amr ibn Abd al-Wudd and returns back when the blood was dripping from his sword, Zulfiqar, and he returns back to Rasulullah. This is where Prophet had prayed for Imam Ali alayhi salam and said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh my Lord, give him a gift that you have never given to anyone. Look at the dua of the Holy Prophet. Look at the tone of Rasulullah. You know, give him a gift that you haven't given to, no one ever would be given. That kind of gift, in other words. And Prophet says that ضَرْبَةُ عَلِيٍّ يَوْمَ الْخَنْدَقْ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ السَّقَالَيْنِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That means the strike of Imam Ali alayhi salam on the day of Khandaq is superior than the worship of the humans and the jinns combined till the day of judgment. This is the kind of worship that he did. If we understand the highness of the worship and the sensitivity of the situation and the fact of the history, fact of the matter, that if Imam Ali was not there to defend Islam and defend the Prophet, what would happen in that case? Obviously, all the parties and kuffar have already gathered, you know, and to kill the Holy Prophet, and Islam would have ended then and there. That would have been, we would be reciting the Fatiha of Islam, the message of Allah, and the virasat and inheritance of 124,000 prophets of God would have massacred on that one day. All the efforts of the Prophet would have been washed away by that one incident. So it has to be like this. What Prophet has said has everything to do with haqq. It's nothing but haqq. That Imam Ali's darbat deserves that highness, that all the actions of all the people till the day of judgment are on one side, it doesn't have that much value, it cannot never have that much value, which can equal the highness of one strike. That's the right thing to do at the right time. This is the amalun salih, and khalis and pure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that behavior of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is because of the fact that they have arwahun qudsiyya, marahil and stages of the ruh have been defined by scholars of akhlaq into five stages, and well, obviously we have the ruh al-badan and the ruh al-quwa and the ruh al-shahwa, isn't it right? Which ruh al-badan is, that's how we survive, and the ruh al-quwa is the one which has the power and strength to perform the things which the plantations don't have, the ruh al-quwa. And the ruh al-shahwa means the desires, which we also, you know, refer to as our nafs and you know, whims and wishes of the human soul. And then it comes to Ruhul Iman, and finally the final stage of the soul is what we call in Ilm al-Akhlaq as Ruhul Quds or Ruhul Qudus. And when it comes to the Ruhul Iman, which is the fourth stage of our soul, this is not found with the Ashab al-Shimal. People, Ashab al-Shimal, who will be handed over the Book of Deeds in their left hand, they are Ashab al-Shimal, or tied in their necks. You know, in the dua that you read in the wudu, every day when we perform the wudu, we read the duas that Amir al-Mu'min al-Islam has taught us. Allahumma la tu'tini kitabi bi shimali. Oh my Lord, don't hand over my book into my left. Isn't that right? We read that dua when we do the wudu. وَلَا تَجْعَلْهَا مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ أُنُقِي وَلَا مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِي. And nor do you give the book from behind my back. That's the second way why how some of the evil doers will be handed their books from behind their backs. That's what they deserve. This is an insult. Isn't it right? They deserve that kind of insult. And وَلَا تَجْعَلْهَا مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ أُنُقِي. Don't let the book be hanging in my neck. That's the third pattern, how Allah would do towards them. And وَجَنِّبْنِي مِن مُقَطَّعَاتٍ نِيرَان أو أعوذ بك, narrated in both ways, أعوذ بك مِن مُقَطَّعَاتٍ نِيرَان, and protect me from the fire which cuts the body into pieces. So basically, Ashab al-Shimal will be the ones who will be given book like this. They don't have the Ruhul Iman, the fourth stage of spirituality. They only have the Ruhul Badan and Ruhul Quwwa and Ruhul Shahwa in their existence. They did not develop that stage of Ruhaniyat to have the Iman in their qalb. Isn't it right? So now when a person doesn't have the Iman, then, you know, he would misuse, abuse his aql. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts with which they do not think. لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes with which they do not see. Isn't it right? This is abuse of the ni'mat of Allah. The eyes are given to see, but they don't see. The qalb is given to think. They do abusive behavior. They don't use their qalb and aql to think. Right? This is another abuse of the ni'mat. And lahum adhanun la yasma'una biha. They have ears with which they do not hear. Well, the kuffar are hearing and seeing. What is Allah talking about? Well, they are hearing everything else, but not hearing what they are supposed to hear. Isn't it right? They are seeing everything else, but not seeing what they were supposed to see. They're thinking about everything else, but not thinking what they were supposed to think about. So as if they don't think. And you don't think what you were supposed to think, then you're not thinking, isn't it right? You're wasting and abusing. So we find that's how the Ashab al-Shimal are. And their behavior is full of shu'm, means nuhusat, and shakawat. And we find, whereas the Ashabul Yameen are the ones who are called Ashabul Yameen, because of the fact that, you know, in Islam we call them Ashabul Yameen because of the fact, not only because of the reason that they will be given the Book of Deeds in their right hand, and right hand in Arabic is called the Yameen, but also, more importantly, in the tafsir it has been mentioned, the more importantly we call them Ashab al-Yameen because Yameen word in Arabic is taken from the word Al-Yumn wal-Barakah, because every action of their life was full with Barakat, it was Maymoon and Mubarak, because all the deeds they performed was full of Yumn and Barakah throughout their life, they deserve to be called Ashab al-Yameen. So it's more than just the right hand. So we find that it obviously as a you know, when Quran says lahum qulubun la yafqahuna biha, then right, you know, they have hearts but they don't think with it. Isn't that a shame when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is bringing his 6 month old baby, isn't right, and these ashqiya are slaughtering a 6 month old baby, and after that they are rejoicing and doing halhala, rejoicing and cherishing and making, you know, making a celebration after that. One of the mustashriqeen, one of the teachers was telling that one of this orientalists, when he read this story, when he was studying about Islam and he read this story, that Imam Hussain alayhi salam on one side, son of the Prophet, brings a 6 month old baby in front of those people claiming to be Muslims, isn't that right? And these people kill a 6 month old baby, and after that they are rejoicing and celebrating. He became a Muslim. He said, I understand that this group was on haq and righteousness and that group was on batil. Somebody who can use the tafakkur, he can use his qalb to think, can this much story is enough for him to open up his eyes. Isn't it right? So we find that because these people have abused their ni'mats and the blessing that Allah has given to them, and so this is why they end up becoming Ashabul Ash-Shimal. And Sabiqoon are those people. In the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Sabiqoon are the Anbiya and the Awsiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So the Anbiya alayhim as-salam and the Awsiya alayhim as-salam are the Sabiqoon. So it's not a surprise when they have Arwahun Qudsiyah. We find that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and he's a child, he's a baby in the cradle. Quran narrates the story, and the children of Israel come, Banu Israel, and they started to slander, tuhmat, on Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam. Ma kana abu kimra asawin wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Isn't it right? Your dad, you didn't used to be a bad guy, nor your mother was a prostitute. That means, what did you do, in other words? So they started to slander on Hazrat Maryam. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. Quran says, she indicated towards the baby. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. And the baby, Hazrat Isa, is in the cradle. Isn't it right? He started to speak. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Certainly I am a servant of Allah. أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ. He gave me the book. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. And he made me a prophet. Why, isn't it right? So this Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is speaking in the cradle. So this is what we are talking about, Arwahun Qudsiyah. When someone has the Ruhun Qudsiyah in his existence, this is how he would be. It's not a matter of surprise that all these doctors and engineers and professors and fuqaha and mushtahideen and so on and so forth, all of those professions in the life and people of various fields are obliged to follow this prophet and this imam. What does he have that everybody is supposed to follow him? Isn't it right? All the degrees that you may gain from academic universities are on one side, and you are a blank slate ignorant in front of him, a prophet or the imam. Why is that? This is about arwahun qudsiyah that we must understand and value that soul which is entitled to receive the wahi and the ilham from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we understand this fact, then we will stop abusing our aql and utilizing the aql to challenge the teachings of the alamul wahi, which we are unable to have access. Had it not been for the prophets and the imams to teach us from the alamul wahi and alamul ghaib, we were blank slate ignorance. Isn't it right? Who can teach me without the prophet of Islam? Who can teach me that I have to pour water in wudu from the elbow towards the fingers? And if I don't do the wudu, all my salat is batil. If I don't have salat, I have no connection with Allah. All the a'mal and actions of my life are batil. And salat is the pillar of the religion. Everything I may do, the charity, the good work, shatters down. Isn't it right? Had it not been for Rasulullah to teach me how to become a human and behave towards my Creator, no power on earth can teach me how to do wudu. That's one small tip of the iceberg I'm mentioning. All the teachings of Islam, which come from the alamul wahi, and which we don't have access how to do the ibadat. Aql can only tell you, you got to do the ibadat of Allah. Al-aql ma ubida bihir rahman. How Imam al-Sadiq says in Al-Kafi, aql is what with which you worship Rahman. Waqtusiba bihil jinan. And with which you achieve the paradises. But how to do the worship? My aql cannot understand. If it was for my aql, I would say, what's the difference? I can pour water from the fingers to the elbow. At the end of the day, my hand becomes wet in both cases. Isn't it right? If it had been for my aql, I would have been saying that. But it's not left to my aql to decide. It's left to the wahi to decide. And my aql should, it's intellectual to submit to the teachings of the alamul wahi. And it is stupid and unintellectual to challenge the teachings of alamul wahi, which are superior than the domain of aql. So we find that's why that this arwahun qudsiyah given to the imam, prophets and the imams is not an unfair favoritism from Allah. Allah is adil. When you read the ziyarat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam, what is the sentence number one? What is the sentence number one? How we start the ziyarat? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to go, over and over again for the ziyarat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. The sentence number one, that's how the ziyarat starts. Ya mumtahana. That's how we start the ziyarat. O the tested one. Ya mumtahana imtahanaki Allahu alladhi khalaqaki qabla an yakhluqaki fawajadaki limamtahanaki sabiratan. O the tested one. Imtahanaki Allahu alladhi, Allah tested you qabla an yakhluqaki, before He created you. Fawajadaki limam tahanaki sabiratan. So He found you about what He tested as sabira. So nobody has a right to say it's an unfair favoritism going on that they have been given the arwahun qudsiyah and we don't have the arwahun qudsiyah. No. They have been tested somewhere else. They have been tested somewhere else. And because of that test, they have been given what they have been given because they deserved it. Not unfair favoritism from Allah. So we find Hazrat Zahra used to do, to comfort, used to provide comfort to her mother, Hazrat Khadija, salamullah alayha, when the woman of Makkah had isolated her and no one was paying a visit to Hazrat Khadija during the days of her pregnancy. She's the one who's talking from the womb to her mother and comforting her. Just like Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam used to talk to her, his mother, when he was in the womb of his mother. Isn't it right? All of them have the arwahun qudsiyah. There is no difference between young and old among the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. gets the mansab and position of imamat, sits on the mansab and position of imamat and walayat at the age of 5, when his dad became shaheed, Imam Askari salam becomes shaheed. At that time, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam now is currently sitting on the mansab of walayat and imamat after the shahadat of his dad, isn't it right? What's the age of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam at that time when he officially takes the charge? We believe all the imams are born imams, isn't it right? But he now sits in the mansab of position of imamat. There's one imam sitting on the currently on the mansab of walayat at one time, not two. They have the same knowledge, they have the same ilm. The two cannot be the leaders at one time, isn't it right? So when is Imam Mahdi taking the charge of the imamat and walayat? At the age of 5, approximately. So in the age of 5, Imam Sahib al-Zaman is the commander-in-chief of the entire universe. Every particle of the universe returns back to him and reports back to him. Every existence of the universe is under his command. Walayatun takwiniyatun mutlaqa, absolute power. At the age 5, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, you know, reaches the mansab of imamat and walayat at the age of 9. Imam al-Hadi, al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam, reaches the position of walayat and imamat at the age of 8. Isn't it right? There's no difference in Ahlul Bayt in young and old. And when Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari, rahmatullah alayhi, very great companion, very, you know, a very nice, very good mu'min and great companion of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. And he was, he says that, I saw some of these Abbasiyin, people who were, you know, related to the government. Abbasis are the ones who were ruling in the time of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. So I saw some of these Abbasiyin talking to themselves, this time when Imam al-Hadi comes in, we are not going to get off of our horses to respect him. We'll stay sitting over the horse. Just like today's world, if you are sitting in your car and any respectable person comes, you need to get off your car. Isn't it right? That's the basic respect. In those days, if you're riding a horse and an animal, that's what applies to that. And then you need to get off the back and stand and respect a respectable person. So he said, I heard some of a bunch of Abbasiyin saying, we are not going to get off the horses to respect Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. And Mutawakkil Abbasi, la'natullah alayhi, who's the ruler of that time, commanded his people of Darbar not to open the curtain, because there is somebody standing at the gate, opens the curtain, lifts the curtain up in the respect of the person who is entering. So nobody should lift the curtain in the respect of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Let him lift the curtain himself. And Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari, obviously, he says, I said in my heart that you people will not even have control over your own selves when you see him. This is the haybat and jalal and majesty of a masoom. So, and he says the same happened. The same happened when Imam Jawad al-Islam, Imam Hadi al-Islam shows up. All of those people who were talking earlier, we will not get off the back of the horses to respect him, all of them get off the backs of the horses, and they all ended up respecting him forcibly because of the haybat and jalal of the Imam. And the wind blew at that time upon the command of Allah, and the wind opened the curtain, lifted the curtain up. So Imam Hadi entered with his dignity. And next time, Mutawakkil commanded his people, whenever he is brought forcibly next time to the darbar, lift the curtain for him. So at least when the wind blows, this is a further fadilat for Imam, appears on the crowd that Imam has mu'jiza, Allah is supporting him. So next time you lift the curtain for him, that's better. So that they can hide the fadilat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is the bughd of Ahlul Bayt. So we find that when someone asks Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib that you are higher in age than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Why are you obeying him? Why are you listening to him? You are higher in the age. And he replied back that huwa asan wa ana asan wa huwa akbar. I mean, he is more in the age. I am more in the age, but he is, you know, he is, you know, buzurg, he is greater than me. You know, higher level in Islam is not because of age, because of age. Buzurgi ba ilmas, na ba sinno saal. Greatness is not with your age, is with your knowledge. How much knowledge and taqwa you have, this is what makes you big in the eyes of Islam. Not because of your age. Yeah, some people may be 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, but they behave like, you know, non-baligh people. Rushd fiqhi is missing in their qalb. So we find that what I was talking is that among the Anbiya and A'imma alayhim salam, young and old doesn't make any difference. So Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam is you know, sitting in the mansab of imamat and walayat at the age of 9. Jawadul A'imma alayhim salam. He is known as Jawadul A'imma alayhi salam. He was brought to Baghdad by Mamun al-Rashid, and you know, by the ruler of his time. And we find in the history, he's a young, you know, young boy, obviously 9 year old, 10 year old. He became sitting on the mansab of imamat at age 9, but in the time when he was in Baghdad, probably he may be 10 years old at the most. So we find that Hassan al-Basri is a very old guy now. He's 95 years old according to the history, in the time of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. He was living in the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So now he's approximately, according to some of the histories, 95 years old. And he says, I saw this young child moving in the street of Baghdad, and other children present, they're all opening up the way for him and respecting him. I didn't know who he was. I asked somebody and they told me he is the son of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. And I thought to myself, shall I go and say salam to him? Why should I say salam to him? First he thought to himself, why should I say salam to him? He thought himself is a bigger person. Then he thought to himself, let me go and say salam to him, because their mawaddat, their love is wajib in Quran. Allah has said, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Their mawaddat has been made wajib by Allah in the Quran. So let me go and say salam to him. So he went there and said salam to Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. And Imam replied back his salam with his name, called him with his name. He was shocked. You know me, who I am? His Imam replies back, I know all you, I can tell you, all your ancestors till Adam and all your children till the day of judgment, and I can tell you how many of them will be sons and how many of them will be daughters and how many of them will go to Jannat and how many of them will land in the hellfire. So we find that then he asked the question from Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, what is the difference between nafs and aql? And Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam says, it was your nafs that said to you, don't go and say salam. And it was your aql that said to you, the muwaddat is wajib, go and say salam to them. In other words, please say salawat. he said is go and say salam to him. So we find that it is narrated that someone saw Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam in the dream. Yeah, what was in the hadith is to go, was your akal to said who to go and say salam, in other words. So we find that someone saw Imam alayhi salam in the dream and he was crying. And he asked him the reason, and Imam alayhi salam replies back, I was passing by on the fourth heaven, Asman al-Chaharum, Sama al-Rabi'ah, and I heard that there all the angels have gathered there, and one angel is going on mimbar and reading the khutbah of my aunt Zainab alayhi salam. This is what caused Imam Sahib alayhi salam to cry. And Hazrat Zainab is very great. He's talking about the khutbah which Hazrat Zainab delivered in the bazaar of Kufa. See, when you are delivering a speech, the speaker always wants silence in the crowd. Isn't it right? These are natural things. The speaker, it's the most suitable thing for the speaker is that he speaks in a gathering of his supporters. Isn't it right? That's the second most suitable thing for the speech. And you know, the third most suitable thing is that the speaker should himself or herself be in comfort so that he or she can deliver the speech properly. And none of those things were there for Hazrat Zainab, because we find Ibn Ziyad la'natullah alayh paid to 1,000 people. He paid money to 1,000 people to make noise in the bazaar of Kufa. That's the first thing. And we find Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam is the one who has lost her entire family. Isn't it right? And she is in so much pain. She herself is tied up in chains. She is not in comfort at all. And she is speaking in an audience which are not the audience which are opposers and not her supporters, but actually at the audience which are the killers of Hazrat of Ahlul Bayt, the Qatilin. The Ashqiyah were there. And look at the Azamat. This will make you understand a little bit of the Azamat of Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha. How she delivers the sermon. And then there are noise created. 1,000 humans were paid by Ibn Ziyad. 1,000 people were paid by Ibn Ziyad to make noise in the bazaar. And the riwayat says, Sayyid ibn Ta'us has narrated that fa'asharat, fa'awma'at. She indicated with her hand. She didn't speak a word. She indicated with her hand. فَسَكَنَتِ الْأَجْرَاسِ وَارْتَدَّتِ الْأَنْفَاسِ. To all the bells. In the old days, people used to hang bells in the necks of the animals. Isn't right? All the bells which were ringing stopped. وَارْتَدَّتِ الْأَنْفَاسِ. And the breaths of the people were confiscated in their throats. That's how, this is what we call walayatun takweeniyya and mu'jaza of Hazrat Zainab salamun alayha. Not by speaking a word, by making an ishara. She has that much control over the akwan, over the existences. So now she delivers her sermon. How much pain she has went through, we cannot understand. You know, when after the Asr of Ashura, we find that she is now gathering all the ladies of Ahlul Haram and all the children. 84 are mentioned in the history, in the Maqatil. 84 women and children, they have been all gathered by whom? By Sayyida Zainab. She is now doing the role of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And she is under a burnt, a partially burnt khaymah. She is gathering all the people there. And not just that, but she is supervising the security and safety of everyone. She is the one who asked her sister Umm Kulsoom to come and find the two children. See, if you have one of your sons missing, what would be the kayfiyat? What would be the status of your thinking, your soul? How much anxious you would be if one of your sons is missing? Now let me ask you the second question. What if instead of your son, you have your daughter missing? How would you feel when your daughter is missing? Definitely you will feel more pain. What if two of your daughters are missing? Can you imagine the pain of Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam? She found two of the daughters of Ahl al-Haram are not there. And she asked Umm Kulsoom to find those two daughters. And they went out to find. And she discovered the two girls are lying dead under, close to a bush. They were killed by the Ashqiya. So we find, look at the pain of Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam. And even in the night after the Asr of Ashura, when the night came, she stands up for the Salatul Layl. Her night prayers was not missed even on that night. Malaikatullah, the angels of Allah, showed their surprise about the khilqat of Hazrat Zainab. What a great lady. Someone who has lost her family and has uncountable pains is still standing up in the middle of the night and doing her worship just like she used to do in all the rest of the days of her life. Look at the azamat of her Zainab. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam had said to her in Kufa, "Anti bihamdillahi alimatun ghayru muallama." You by the praise of Allah are a scholar not taught. That means not taught by any human. You have been taught by Allah directly. You have ilm al-ladunni from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa fahimatun ghayru mufahama. And you are a person of understanding without anyone providing you that understanding. That means Allah gave you that fahim and understanding. This is the azmat of Zainab. She is the one for whom Imam Hussein comes in the final moments. Isn't it right? And when he comes and Imam Hussein asks her, "Itini bi thawbin atiq aj'alhu tahta siyabi." Bring me that atiq, that old qadeem and nafis dress, so I can put it under my shirt, under my clothes, in other words. So my body will not be made bare after my killing, in other words. So she's the Hamilatul Asrar. And Hazrat Zainab kissed the neck, according to some scholars have narrated, she kisses the neck of Imam al-Hussein. You know, this is the place where Imam Hussein will be slaughtered very soon. And Imam Hussein also kisses the hands of his sister Hazrat Zainab. This is the place where the ropes will be tied over the hands of Zainab. And finally, when my Mawla Imam Hussein is departing after the Wida. You know, Wida of Imam Hussein is one of the greatest tests of Imam Hussein. Leaving his beloved sister Zainab and his family, and you know, and leaving his daughter Sakina. This is not an easy test of Imam Hussein. It's a very great test. And now Hazrat Zainab says to her brother that "Mahlan ya akhi hatta atazawwad minka." She's asking her brother to wait for a while so she can see Imam Hussein more. And obviously this is the final time. She has the opportunity to see Imam Hussein like this. After that, she will be seeing Imam Hussein in a different situation, where Imam Hussein's body is over the arrows. وَشِمْرَ جَالِسٍ عَلَىٰ سَدْرِهِ. And Shimr is sitting over his chest, you know, and slaughtering the Imam from behind his back, holding the beard of the Imam. And Hazrat Zainab is standing on Tilla Zainabiya and condemning the zalimeen and the tawud, the zalim, and protesting over the zulm. Ayuktanu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayhi. That means, in other words, Imam Hussein is being killed and you are watching him.
ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen
wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyaman qarabin yanqaribun inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un ilahi bihaq al-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirril mustawda'i fiha Ya Allah, 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 Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wakhzir al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin, Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din, wakhzir man khazar al-Muslimin, Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'an al-Rabbaniyin, wa maraja'an al-Rabbaniyin, nasayyim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin, اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين Please recite one سورة الفاتحة and three times سورة الإخلاص for the soul of the wife of Brother Hamid Raja. Let's read the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam.